Well, good morning. Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give you a little insight into how weird my life is. I actually had a pretty substantial argument about our gospel text that we read today, this week, with one of my dear friends, a man I respect a lot. And we just didn't agree about it at all. The exact substance of that argument is not really material for our purposes here today, but the only part that I would say does matter is what the argument centered over, and that was whether or not this text, the gospel reading for today, is in fact all or even mostly law. That is, God's sort of righteous demands preached upon us, the demands that break us, the demands that kill us, the demands that wear us down, or was it gospel? Is it God's proclamation of forgiveness in Christ Jesus that sets us free? Which one was it, was the substance of this argument? It turns out that the answer is both. When we read it, it seems pretty harsh, at least on the surface. After all, it has phrases like, "He who is mightier than I is coming. And he will baptize you with not just water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire," which sounds pretty scary. It says things like, "His winnowing fork is in his hand." I don't really want to meet his winnowing fork. And then we have the account of the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the great prophet who prepared the way for Jesus, by the evil Herod, the tetrarch, mostly because John was calling out Herod for having married his brother's wife. And finally, we're told the really hard part. We're told that why he has come at all is because he will clear his threshing floor. When we hear that, I think we wonder, will I be on the threshing floor when he clears it? We hear fire and forks and clearing and arrests. It's scary. This, in fact, must be God's terrible law. And it is. But it's also full of the comforting gospel, the good news of Christ for you. How do we know that there's gospel in this text? It's pretty easy. There's two things that kind of scream it at us. First, it tells us so in verse 18 when it says this: "So with many other exhortations, he preached or continued to preach the good news to the people." And second, and perhaps most importantly, at the end of this day, this text is all about baptism. And baptism ain't nothing if it ain't the forgiveness of sins for you style gospel. And then if we're smart, like I kind of had to do this week when I was a little shooken up by this argument, if we're smart, we look around, or better yet, we listen around to the rest of our text for today, and we can't help but hear it. It's like someone, maybe even the Holy Spirit, is screaming it in our ears. Baptism is literally everywhere in our text, in all of our texts today. How could we have missed it? Verses 3 and 4 of our Old Testament reading exclaim this to us: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through that scary fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior." And from verses 3 and 4 of our epistle reading: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And there is the connection. Christ's baptism, which ultimately is the center and circumference of all of their texts for this morning, the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel, is where he makes that great exchange for you. And it is ultimately why you are baptized. You see, when you are baptized, as Romans 6 tells us, you are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Christ's baptism is where Martin Luther gets this idea of what he calls the happy exchange. And it's where it happens. This happy exchange that he talks about is sometimes very basically talked about as Christ exchanging your sin for his righteousness and his righteousness for your sin. And it is that, but it's much more than that. The happy exchange is what happens in Christ's baptism when he goes down into that water and he takes on all that is your sin, your death, your doubt, your fear, your anger, and everything that separates you from God. And when he comes out, he gives you all of his righteousness, all of his love, all of the fulfillment of the law in him, all of who he is and his relationship with God the Father. He becomes you in that baptism, and you become him. So when the water of the Jordan, as he comes out, is running down Jesus' face, when it is dripping off of his great Old Testament beard from his chin, this is happening to you. He is being baptized, and in his baptism is your baptism. When he wades in waist deep to the River Jordan, you are right there with him in your baptism. You, even the little baby you who is baptized on that day, you look up to the skies on your baptism and you see the heavens open and you notice the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form, like the text tells us, like a dove on you, just as it did on Jesus of Nazareth. And because his baptism in that moment becomes your baptism, you can actually hear the voice of God proclaiming in your ear, but loud enough for all to hear, the blessed words, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." So to get back to my question at the end of this day, at the end of the day, is this text law? Yes. Or is it gospel? Yes. But the important thing that I want you to know today, for you who are baptized into Christ, for you this day, these texts, all of them, are all Christ for you all day long, every day, and twice on Sunday, which good news for you is today. And that's because through your baptism, God reached out for you. He reached out across all time, and he gathered you to himself, no matter where you were scattered upon this great earth, no matter where you were in the vastness of time, he claimed you. It's one of the reasons it's so wonderful to be part of an actual intergenerational church, where you can preach on a Sunday morning about baptism, and you can preach it to people who were maybe baptized 70 plus years ago, and to people that were maybe baptized less than 2 years ago. And the message is the same for all of them and everybody in between, no matter where you were when Christ reached out and grabbed you, no matter when it was that Christ reached out and grabbed you, on that day, he made you fully and certainly his forever in his baptism. But yes, there is law in this text. When he comes again, his winnowing fork will truly be in his hand, and he will do as he promised. He will clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn in unquenchable fire. And this sounds terrifying, and it is terrifying if you're the chaff. And it's why we evangelize. It's why we share the good news. It's why we preach, as John did in the wilderness that is our daily lives, the forgiveness of sins and repentance in Jesus Christ, and to come and be baptized into his name so that there's just very little chaff left when he comes again. But it's not, or at least shouldn't be, terrifying to those who are connected to Christ in their baptism. See, the promise to you who are the wheat by the baptism of Jesus and by your own baptism is that you will be gathered into his heavenly barn. And there you will remain forever, where he will make all things, including you, new. And this is where you will see the fulfillment of this happy exchange. You will actually feel in your body the newness of life that is being just like Christ. No more pain, no more suffering, no more loss, just life. Sometimes I love being asked to preach, and sometimes I don't like being asked to preach. Sometimes I don't like it because I don't actually really love the way our church breaks up the readings all the time. Sometimes to me, when we get the readings on Sunday morning that go from Old Testament to Epistle and Gospel reading, we don't even always do the Psalm. The Bible can feel like whoever put it together doesn't really care that they make it feel like a collection of disconnected stories. And I don't love that. They'll sometimes tell tales of things happening at different places and in different times that don't seemingly naturally go together unless somebody comes up here and explains it to you, how they put it all together. But that wasn't the case this week. You see, in the baptism of Jesus, the whole Bible story becomes your story, because in the baptism of Jesus, through your baptism, you are now connected to Christ, which is why these readings were such a blessing today. From beginning to end, baptism, death and resurrection, Christ for you. You see, in baptism, you are connected and gathered to the whole community of those who have been justified by grace through faith in all time, everywhere, for all the saints, as it were. As our readings in Romans told us today, in baptism you have passed through the fire of death on Calvary's cross and are raised from the tomb with Jesus. Christ not only died and rose for you, you know that, but what you learn today in our text today is that it tells us that Christ was baptized for you too, which leads you to believe and to understand and to know that all things he did, his incarnation, his life, his baptism, his performing miracles, his fulfillment of prophecy, and yes, his death and resurrection, it was all for you. And then you were baptized. And it was into him that you were baptized on that day, whenever it was, 70 plus years ago or less than 2 years ago. On that day, you were baptized, and it was in him that you were baptized. And his promise is that it is in him that he will keep you and that you will remain. And that no one, not life, nor death, nor principalities, nor nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, nothing below, has the power to pluck you out of his hand. And so you will remain in him until he comes again. And yes, his winnowing fork will be in his hand, and you will be harvested, and you will be placed in that barn where he brings you home to himself, and he will keep you with there in glory forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.